Tremendous day, and I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning. Let's go to the book of John, chapter number 8, John chapter 8, and we're going to dismiss the boys and girls, and they're going to head for their children's church. We're doing things a little different today than we normally do, but that's nothing unusual. I don't know that we have a set schedule, and but that's we like it fresh and like it new, and I tell you what, that song, You Got a Brave Heart, just a great encouraging song for men and women alike. It's really a song geared toward women, and but it was sung the other night in our ladies' dinner here, and just a tremendous song of encouragement. And I want to tell all you ladies, you do have brave hearts, and it's the ladies that keep things going in most cases, and we appreciate our ladies and appreciate that good music. John chapter 8 and verse number 12, if you'll stand with me. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'll let you be seated. You know, this month, with God's help, I want us to look on Sunday morning specifically at some of the names that Christ used at Christmas times, or maybe some names of Christ that we use at Christmas time that really help us to understand Christ. I don't know that we'll ever understand Him. I don't think we'll ever, until we're with Him, ever really understand the great love that Christ had for us, that He would come and dwell with us, that God would become flesh and come to where we are. And if I was to ask you today, what's your favorite name of Jesus is, what's your favorite Christmas name, I'm sure we'd get all kind of names around this room. Some people would say, I like baby, I like Messiah, I like King, I like Emmanuel. And all those names that we talk about at Christmas time, but these are names that we can use anytime. It's not just a Christmas name for Jesus, because He is everlasting. He is eternal. He's just with us today as much as He was with the Old Testament saints, just as much as He was there in Bethlehem. He is with us today. So don't ever think that any of the names of Christ are something that you can only use certain times of year. We all have our favorites, but today I want to start at the brightest name for Christ. You saw it on the screen. And Jesus said here in our text, I am the light of the world. Today I want to specifically hone in or zoom in on that phrase, I am the light of the world. And perhaps it's why this time of year we have a world filled with candles and stars and lights and trees. And it's to represent Him, the light of the world. It's to honor Him, the one who not only just talks of light and who appreciates it, but the one, Jesus Christ, who is indeed the light of the world. He's the one we celebrate today. What a powerful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Glory to His name, we sing. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. He's the one that we celebrate today in this place. But what's so special about that title? What's so special about the title of Light of the World? The Light of the World. What's the meaning behind the name? Well, let's look today at that name, Jesus, the Light of the World. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, and quickly, we're going to have baptism at the end of the service. Miss Bridget's here, and she's going to be baptized. Got some of her family. I want to welcome all of you today. And if you're visiting today for the first time, we welcome you as well. Our service has been a little different than what we normally do, but I did want to just say, hey, welcome, and we're glad that you're here. And I hope today will be a real blessing to you. But I'm going to move quick so we can get to the baptism. He is the creator of life. Let's say, first of all, today, He is the creator of light. When you talk about Jesus being the light of the world, He's not a light of the world. He's not one of the many lights in the world, but He is the light of the world. When we talk about Jesus, we often see His beginning at Bethlehem. We talk about His beginning in a stable with Mary and Joseph and maybe some animals there. We say, well, that's where Jesus got His start. But may we never forget that before there was a Bethlehem, before there was an earth, before there was anything at all, Jesus was here. There was Jesus before there was anything else. And Jesus starts this sentence with the famous two words, I am. He says in our text, then spake Jesus again to them saying, I am the light of the world. That phrase, I am, is recorded over and over in the Word of God. Jesus used it, and it's a tremendous thought to think that He is whatever you need. And He uses that phrase, I am. This other name for Himself is also the Old Testament name, Jehovah. The two words, I am, are the same as Jehovah in the Old Testament, which actually means I am that I am. You remember Moses, he was going to go before Pharaoh and say, let my people go. God said, you go tell him to let my people go. He said, who do I tell him sent me? And God said, tell him the I am sent you. Well, who's I am? And God said, I am that I am. He said, you tell him the I am sent you. And here in this text, he says, I am the light of the world. We don't get much info in the Old Testament about God, but we know Him as the Creator. We know Him as the all-wise one. But in the New Testament, Jesus comes to us, and for the first time, man and God, God and man are able to meet face to face. See, in the Old Testament, we only saw shadows of Him. You remember Moses and some of the others would go and they would meet with God, but they would have to hide their face. They would have to turn away from God because He was so holy and so righteous and so bright. But in the New Testament, for the first time, God and man collide and they're able to meet face to face. And I believe anytime Jesus said, I am, He was just simply saying, I am He. I'm the one in the Old Testament you couldn't look at. But today you can see me. I'm just a babe. I'm just a baby in a manger. But you can look at me, God incarnate, God in flesh. And I'm here and I want you to see me. I want you to touch me and I want to touch you. He is the giver of life and He is the creator of light. In Genesis 1:3, God had made earth and saw it dark and gloomy and void. And it was at that time that God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light. Now this creation of light, this invention of light, this powering up of light, if you will, was done prior to the creation of the sun and the moon and the stars. Think about that for just a minute. This is what we think. God created the sun and said, let there be light. Oh no, you got it backwards. God created the moon and said, let there be light. Oh no, you got it backwards. God created all those stars and said, let there be light. Oh no, you got it backwards. God created light long before He ever hung a sun. God created light long before He ever placed the moon. God created light long before He ever placed a star. And so the giving of light was done so prior to the creation of man or man's power grids, or any of man's invention. Before anything ever was, God said, let there be light. And it was Jesus who was there. You remember at creation, it was God who said, let us make man in our image. Who was the us? It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were there long before anything else was even thought of. So when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, He was saying, I am that I am. I am Jehovah. When you've seen God, you've seen me. When you've seen me, you've seen God. When you see light, you're looking at the Creator, the inventor of light. It was God who not only spoke light, but who was and is light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. We can rejoice and celebrate today. We can rejoice and celebrate this season with lights. We can say the light has come to dark Bethlehem, but may we never forget that He, Jesus Christ, is the creator of light. Jesus, the light of the world. He's the creator. Then I want you to see secondly and quickly this morning, not only is He the creator of light, when you see that on a sign this Christmas, Jesus, the light of the world, I hope you'll think of these three points. He's the creator of it. He's the creator. And then secondly, He reveals sin through light. Notice in our text, it said, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He's the creator of it. And then that second line, the B part, He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Jesus talks about a transformation that takes place. Somebody who walks in darkness, but now they have seen this great light, and now they walk in light. They no longer walk in darkness because a change has taken place because they met the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ did not leave heaven, come to earth, be born of a virgin, die on a rugged cross, and then raise again after 3 days, go back to the Father, and do all of that work for 33 years for us to live and walk in darkness. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be changed. Let me just say, kind of off the start this morning, if you're not different after meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, you've not met the Lord Jesus Christ. Because light can have no fellowship with darkness. Light reveals what the darkness conceals. And I want you to understand that being a part of God's work and God's will happens when we are affected and we are illuminated by His light. When darkness is on the scene, there's danger. There's delusions. There's destruction. There's deterioration. But when light arrives, darkness is revealed and darkness has to flee. If we were to turn off all the lights in this room, we won't do that this morning for time's sake, but if we were to turn every light off in here, turn off these Christmas trees, turn off the lights that are on the walls, the baptistry light, the TVs, everything that's lit up here this morning, and I was to light one single light up here at the platform, you'd see it no problem. It would reveal things in the darkness that we could not see when it was pitch black dark. Light does that. Light has a way to show us what's there that does not need to be there. Let's dig deeper in that thought. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You have to understand the setting of this. Jesus had just diffused the situation of the woman caught in adultery. Look at verse number 3. It said, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they told Jesus about it, and then they were going to stone her. Just sort of a quick recap of that. And Jesus had diffused that situation. They were going to stone her, and darkness was in their heart. We're going to stone her. We're going to kill her for the sin that's in her heart. Darkness was in their minds. Darkness was in their eyes. Darkness was in their heart, and darkness was in her heart. She had truly been caught in sin. And darkness was in their hands. They were going to kill her with stones. But then in verse number 7, Jesus, the light of the world, he said this, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. You know what Jesus did? He illuminated their life. It's like he took their life. They thought they were so perfect. They thought they were so holy. They thought they were going to call this woman out. And Jesus said, let me just turn the light on your life for just a minute. Let's put your life up on the big screen for just a minute. And he that's without the sin, let him cast the first stone. And you know what the Bible said they did? They walked out one by one, starting with the oldest. You know who probably had the most sin? The oldest. And when he realized that the light of the world had revealed, had illuminated, had put his life up on a light like an X-ray and was able to see everything that he had done, all of a sudden shame hit them and they realized, I'm just as sinful as this woman we're going to stone. That's what the light will do. This is why they hated Jesus. This is why men hate the church today. They hate Christians. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the light because it destroys the works of darkness. In our text, Jesus said that he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. Don't be confused or mistaken. There's a separation between light and darkness. There's a separation between light and darkness. I found this little story this week and I thought it was a neat. Now this is a fake story. But it says, once upon a time, a cave lived under the ground, as caves have the habit of doing. It had spent its lifetime in darkness. It heard a voice calling to it, come up into the light. Come and see the sunshine. The cave retorted, I don't know what you mean. There isn't anything but darkness. Finally, the cave ventured forth and was surprised to see the light everywhere. Looking up to the sun, the cave said, come with me and see the darkness. The sun asked, what is darkness? And the cave replied, come and see. One day the sun accepted the invitation. As it entered the cave, It said, "Now show me your darkness." But there was no darkness. Anytime there's light, there will be no darkness. No darkness at all. And that's what Jesus Christ can do in our life. There's a difference. There's a parting of ways. The Bible says in John 1:9, "He lighteth every man that cometh into the world." His light is there to reveal the way to the Father. You remember the Old Testament, the children of Israel, He lit the way for them with a cloud at night. He lit the way for them with a pillar of fire and light. And if they would just believe and follow it, it would eventually take them to a promised land. Can I just say that that's the truth in our day today? If you'll just follow the light of Christ, if you'll just follow His leading, believe Him, follow Him, it will lead you to heaven. It will lead you to the promised land. Likewise, Christ has scattered darkness and illuminated the way to the Father, but men hate Him for it. I don't know why people hate Jesus so much, but it's because their deeds are evil. John 3:19 said, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." This is the condemnation. That's what He says. This is the condemnation. I wish God wouldn't send people to hell, people will say. God sure is a mean God that He would send people to hell. I thought God was a God of love. You ever heard people say that? Let me just say right off the start, God's done everything He could to keep people from going to hell. And if people go there, it's because they've stepped over what Christ has done. They've stepped over the cross. They've stepped over the blood. They've stepped over the love. They've stepped over the church. They've stepped over those things to get there. They put in a lot of work to get there because Christ put in a lot of work to keep them out. And He said, this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. This is why men are condemned. This is why people will die without Christ and go to a place called hell. And He said, here's the condemnation. You want to know what the condemnation is? You want to know why people are condemned? He says this, "Lights come into the world." Jesus Christ, the light of the world, one we're preaching about today, He came to Bethlehem to be the light of the world. Died on an old rugged cross to pay every man's sin debt so that people would not have to go to that place called hell. And this is then what He said. "But men love darkness rather than light." And you know what they said? "We'll not have this man to rule over us. We'll not have this man to rule over." And He said this, "because their deeds were evil." Can I just tell you that my deeds are evil? Your deeds are evil. Your sinfulness is evil. My sinfulness is evil. And it's going to take Jesus Christ to do away with all that, clean all that up in my life. I'm so glad that I've trusted Him. If you've not trusted Him, can I tell you, you're still living in darkness. You still have darkness on you. You do not have light in you. And Christ wants to transform you by His light. You say, "I have a problem with this sin." I'll just say, get near the light. Get near the light. I have dark thoughts. I have wicked thoughts. I have thoughts of death and harm. Can I just tell you, get near the light. Those are dark things. Don't go darker. Get near the light. Darkness must flee when light is present. A man scoffingly asked, "What advantage has a religious man over anybody like myself?" I know people have asked that. What's the benefit of going to church? How's a church person better than me? Or any of that stuff. People will say that stuff. And scoffingly, he asks, "What's a religious man have that I don't have? Does not the sun shine on me as it does on him on this fine day?" "Yes," replied his companion, "but the religious man has two suns shining on him at once. One on his body, the other on his soul." Man, I'm so glad for the sun when I walk out today, the sun that will shine on my skin. But more than that, I'm thankful for the sun that shines on my soul. Does it make me perfect? Does it make me without sin? No. But it's shone light in my life and it helps me to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. A light. I'm going to move to the third point for time's sake. He is the creator of life. Everybody say amen to that. You believe that? In the beginning, God created. And then secondly, He reveals sin through His light. Why do we preach Jesus? Because Jesus will reveal what doesn't need to be there. He's the spiritual surgeon. He's the spiritual illuminator. He will light up things in your life that does not need to be there. That's why we preach Jesus. I could stand up here and preach on how to budget your money. I could stand up here and preach on how to raise your children. I could stand up here and preach on a lot of different stuff. And we do those things from time to time. But we preach Christ. Why? Because Christ is what will change a man. Christ is the light of the world. You realize without light we have no color? You turn all the lights off in this room, there's no color. It doesn't matter what anybody's got on. Brother Chris Leach got on a bright shirt back there. You could turn the lights off in here and that the color of that shirt would not matter. The color of my tie, the color of my shirt, the color of my suit, none of that matters without light. Light gives color. Light brings growth. Light purifies. Light does all those things. It takes light. And I want you to see He's the creator of light. He reveals sin through His light. And thirdly and finally, He has transferred His light to us. This is amazing to me. Look at the C part of that verse. He said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." He's the creator. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." He reveals our sinfulness and our darkness. But then He transfers that life to us. Look what He says, the last line. "But shall have the light of life." Who shall have it? "He that followeth me." "He that followeth me shall have the light of life." That phrase, "shall have," is a positive future possession. In other words, shall have from this day forward, from the day that he followeth me, he will continue to have the light living inside of him. This is mind-blowing to me to think that the light that was created without a source, Jesus said, "Let there be light," without a source, by and from God himself, can now abide in me. I can now have that same power living in me, creative power, inventive power. I now have the power of God living in me. Why? Because I follow Him. A light, a spiritual light that can guard me and guide me from sin can now abide in me and in you. You say, "Well, I have so much trouble with sin." Hey, we all do. But if there's not something inside of you that says, "Don't do that, don't say that, don't go there," you're living in darkness. Why? Because light will reveal darkness. Light will reveal darkness. A light that pulls people from sin and physically takes them into a place of illumination and safety and security can now abide in me and in you. What a thought. You say, "Well, I thought I just got saved. I didn't know I got all that." Listen, when you got saved, you got all of Him. You got all of Him. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I've got life living in me. I've got light living in me. Why? Because I have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ the Creator, Jesus Christ the baby, and Jesus Christ the crucified one is the light of the world, and now He lives in me, should not I bring light to darkness too? The question is if Christ lives in me, and He's the light of the world, when I go places, should not I light up that room? Some people light up a room when they leave. But we as Christians should light up a room when we arrive. We should bring light to our workplace. We should bring light to our school system. We should bring light to our family. You may be the only Christian in your family. They ought to know it. I don't mean you get on the coffee table and preach every time you get together, but they ought to look at you and say, "Hey, there's something different about Uncle so-and-so. There's something different about my granny. There's something different about that person." And let it be the light of the glorious gospel that lives inside of us. A small child was taken to a cathedral, and she sat watching the sunshine through the windows. And she asked her mother, "What are these people on the windows?" Her mama said, "They're saints." Then the child said, "Now I know what saints are. They are people who let the light shine through them." That's what saints are. You want to be a good Christian? Let His love shine through you. Let the light of the gospel shine through you. Hide it under a bushel? No. Let me do that again. Hide it under a bushel? Y'all remember the little song when we were kids? "I'm going to let it shine." And then we say, "Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine." That's what we need to do, is to let the glorious gospel shine through us. You say, well, that's God's job. God won't save somebody. God can save them. Everybody knows there's a church on every corner. Somebody wants to get saved. That's their business. Hey, listen, he left that work to us. He said, greater work will you do if I go to my Father. What was he saying? He's saying there's one of me. When I'm on earth, he was limited. He could still only be in Samaria or Judea or Jerusalem, whoever, wherever. He could only go one place at a time. He limited himself when he was here. He said, if I go to my Father, there's only one of me. When I go to my Father, greater works will you do. What he was saying is that if 12 of you get saved, now you can be in 12 places. 100 of you get saved, you can be in 100 places. 1,000 of you get saved, you can be in 1,000 places. 1,000,000 of them, 1,000,000,000 of them get saved, you can be in 1,000,000,000 places. Greater works will you do if I go to my Father. What a tremendous thought that God has included us in the gospel ministry. You say, well, that's God's job. He's the light. Let him shine. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, last verse on the screen here. He said in 13, I don't have it on the screen, but he says, you're the salt of the earth. And then he said in 14, he said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's the thought. Since the beginning of time, he's been the light. He spoke it. He invented it. He loaned it to the sun and to the stars. He reflects it off the moon every night. He used it to guide a nation. He represented it in the old tabernacles. The Old Testament. He himself would be set on a hill. He himself would be hung on a candlestick, on a cross, so that the whole world could see him. But then he gave you and I the great privilege of carrying on his name, carrying his name forward. You realize today we're Christians, and that just simply means little Christ. Everywhere we go, we should be little Christ. We're little Christians. We're Christians. We're little Christ. We're His servants. We're just like He was. We're soldiers. We're in His army. But never forget, we, according to Matthew 5:14, are the light of the world. He said, not only is He, Jesus, the light of the world, but then He said in this verse, back up one screen there, Brother Ben, He said, not only is He the light of the world, but He said, we are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then here in this verse, he says, you are the light of the world. What does that mean? That means he has transferred his light, his power, his strength, his ability unto us. Why? So we can reach people just like he did. What a tremendous thought on this Christmas to think that I am included in the Christmas story. I'm included in being the light of the world. I ask you these questions today. Do you know him today? We've preached quickly this morning about the light of the world, but I ask you, do you know him? Do you know the light of the world? I didn't say, do you know the Christmas story? Yeah, Bethlehem, I know all that. No. Do you know Jesus? Has he changed your life with his light? Has he ever revealed to you your sinfulness? Has he ever revealed to you your need for him? Do you know him today? Then I ask you this, do you struggle with sinfulness and darkness in this world? We all have sin. Okay, don't ever think that I'm up here preaching shame on you. I say shame on me, shame on us for our sinfulness. We all have sin. But do you struggle with sinfulness, repetitive sin, sin that you can commit without ever being convicted about? Let me say this, a person who's saved, when you commit sin, your heart will be tugged at. You'll say in your heart, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I go there? And possibly, more than likely, before you ever do it, the Spirit of God will say, shut your mouth. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't act that way. But you'll do it anyway. And then the Spirit of God will reveal that sinfulness. Do we struggle with that? I didn't say we'd be sinless, but I believe we will sin less. And then I would ask you this finally today, Miss Elena, you come. How's your light shining? How's your light shining? We were joking and sung the little song, hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Let me just ask you the question, how is your light shining? Do people in your family consider you a Christian? Do they consider you a Christ follower? Do you bring light to your family, or do you add darkness to the already dark situation? In our text, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The second verse we read, He said, ye are the light of the world. It's important that light changes us. It's important that we let the light of the glorious gospel change us. He said in John 1, He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And He said, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You say, this sure is a dark world. I say, amen. It is. You say, it sure is a hopeless world. And I say, time out. From the dark side, it's hopeless. But from where we see it, we can say, hey, I have the light of life. I have life, which is light, living inside of me. I may not change the whole world, but I can change my family. I may not change the whole world, but I can change my workplace. I may not change the whole world, but I can change my school. I may not change the whole world, but I can make a difference in my church and in my community. So that's what light does. Light changes things. Light causes growth. Light causes purification. And light reveals to us what doesn't need to be there. I ask you today, do you know Christ? How's your life in comparison to His light?